I was in Chester the other week with my granddaughter, and we went into the cathedral, and in the cathedral they've got a whole display of Christmas trees, and they've asked various organisations and companies and shops and whatever to sponsor a tree, and there must be about 60 trees in the cloisters of the cathedral. And if you've not been to see them, I think they're still there. It's worth going and having a look. But I was struck by one tree particularly, and I don't know what the shop or the organisation was, but this tree had a lot of stars on it, and it had this statement at the top, and it said, "Make a Christmas wish." And people were invited, there was a pen there, and they were invited to write a wish on one of the stars. And I was reading some of these wishes that people had written, and they're old and young alike. And I'll just read one or two of them to you. I liked this first one. It says, "I wish that Liverpool would win the Premier League." That got a good vote. Then the next one I read was, "I wish I win the European lottery tonight." Then another one, I think this was a child, he said, "I want to be a good critter." And then I realised that he'd spelt it wrong because he'd drawn a bat by the side. And he meant, I hope I'll be a great cricketer. And then some a little bit more serious. One was saying, I wish for peace and reconciliation following the election. We went just after the election. Then another one said, I wish my granddad would get better. And then I went outside the cathedral and I overheard a couple of shopkeepers talking and just listening to their fears, because it was raining. And they were worried that they weren't going to make as much money as they made last year. And then I saw, as you do as you walk through Chester, I saw a couple of homeless people. And I wonder what they were fearful of. And Christmas time seems to be a time where we have these hopes and fears. We hope that Christmas Day is going to be all that we want it to be. We hope that we get the presents that we've written down on our lists to Santa Claus and hope that they somehow turn up. We hope that things will go well on the meal, that the roast potatoes will be done properly and no one will complain. We might have a fear that some people might not make it to Christmas, or a fear that someone in the family will be unwell. So we have at this time of year these mixture of hopes and fears. And I wonder if it was the same during the time of Jesus. If we were able to go back and ask the people, what were their hopes and fears? I think we'd be quite surprised to find that they were very similar to ours. There's people who were hopeful for a better future, fearful of the political and economic uncertainty, hopeful that children are going to grow up in a community of love, but fearful of famine and disease and illness. Not too different from our hopes and fears. So in that hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem, when we read those words, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in him tonight. What did the writer mean? And what have we got to say in the church today about the hopes and fears that we see in our society, in our community, in our families, in our own lives? I think that writer had quite a deep understanding of the hopes and fears, and how those hopes and fears are met in Jesus, because I think he understood the significance of the name of Jesus. You know the story that the angel appeared to Joseph and said, Mary's going to have this baby, you take it as your wife, and the child is going to be born, and you're to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means someone who saves, or someone who rescues. And I think that writer of the hymn understood fully that we as a human race somehow need rescuing. Why? Why do I say that? Because I believe that the hopes and the fears that we might have are somehow connected to who we are, or who we are not allowing ourselves to be. Because we live in a situation where we think we've got it sorted. We think we're in control of our own destinies. In fact, we desire to be in control of our own destinies. And many people want to look at God and say, no, thank you very much. We can cope with this ourselves. We can sort our own problems out. We have no need for you. And I believe that Jesus, the one who rescues, the one who saves, has come into the world primarily to save us from ourselves, to rescue us from ourselves. Because we can't do this on our own. We were not meant to do this on our own. We were meant to do it in relationship and connection to God. And Jesus came to reestablish that relationship. And through his love and his grace and who he was, then he sought to do that. He promised that he's come into this world to bring life, and life in all its fullness. Not perhaps the life that we think, not perhaps the life that for a moment is hagged up by Liverpool winning the Premier League or winning a whole vast amount of money, but a life that is meaningful and purposeful because it's connected to God. And our prayer is that somehow those hopes and fears that we all have, we realize that they can only be met in one person, and that is Jesus Christ, this one who came to us as a baby, grew to be a man, and offered himself for us in that love and grace of God. So I hope this Christmas time, as you've celebrated this carol service with us, you'll take to heart those words of that hymn. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Amen.